Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, spouse and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether there is enough to complete it? Otherwise, when a foundation has been laid and the builder is not able to finish the building, all who see it will begin to ridicule the builder, saying, 'This person began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated, and I would like to invite the children to come forward to ponder this lesson for a while. Welcome all. Yes. Oh, and Elizabeth has brought a friend. Yeah. So I've got a couple pictures to show you today, and you can see the one. It's very small. I'll pass it, and maybe I'll describe it to the rest of you. This is one of my very, very favorite pictures in my calendar book this year. You see that? Pretty sweet, huh? It's a mama otter swimming on her back, and what does she have on her tummy? A baby. And how does the baby look? Happy as can be. Happy as a little pup. Everybody says, "Aw." Yeah. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Do you think the little pup otter loves its mama? Oh, I think so. He's tired and sleeping, but he's so comfy and he's so trusting that
she.
That's absolutely right. Now I want to show you another picture. Now you all can see this one. You probably got an idea of who it is. But this is by an Indian. Say? It's Mary holding Jesus. That's right. Does he look happy? Yes, he does. Does he love his mama? Yes, he does. Does his mother love him? I wanted to show you these pictures. Well, do you guys love your mother? Yes. And your dad? Yes. And they love you. The word of life that comes from God and is shared with all of us is that even from the smallest of animals up to Jesus himself, family is important, and the love of parents and the love of children is how we grow, and God wants us to know that we are all whose children? She looked after her eggs, huh? Yes. So, yes. So from the littlest of animals to Jesus himself and all of us in between, God wants us to know that we are God's children. And just like a loving mother or a loving father, God holds us in God's arms for care and for life. And what does God hope that we will do for others? What do you think? Love them. And that's what our lessons are really trying to say today, that when God presents us with different choices and possibilities, God asks us to choose life, to choose love, and to care for all of those people that we encounter. So, welcome today. God loves each of you. And let's gather around for a prayer. Now, I took dinner with Elizabeth last night, so, yeah, we'll see if she, yeah. I'm just in different garb today. Dear God, you are our mother and father, and you hold each of us in your arm and care for us with love, and you empower us to hold one another in love as well. So we give thanks for these children and the blessing that they are to us, and pray for their well-being, and pray for their hearts to be open to others. In Jesus' name we pray. I'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Elizabeth. So where would we be without our families? Or another way to put it is, who would we be without our families? Without those who love us. Without our parents' love. Without our love for our parents or our siblings and children. Despite our flaws, despite their flaws. Every day, as I grow older, I see more and more the connection that I have between my parents, who are now both passed, how deeply they are part of me and how deeply they shape me. And I feel the same thing for Valerie's parents, whom we just spent decades with, and how much their care and influence had over both of us and our children. And as we grow, the deeper connection to our four children and grandchildren. I often cite this quote, you've probably heard it a number of times, from one of my favorite books, entitled The General Theory of Love. The quote is, "We are who we are because of who loves us." I think it's equally true to say that we are who we are because of who we love. These lessons today are asking us and reminding us really of this assertion, of this reality that's, I think, woven into the texture of all life. But it's asking us to expand out our sense of love, our circle of those whom we care for. Isn't that what choosing life is all about, that we kind of read through the thread of these lessons? So, in that context, what's this business about hating father and mother, spouse and children? It kind of grates on us, or it's shocking to hear. But Jesus is not really talking about rejecting or disliking or withdrawing love. In this exaggerated line, Jesus is calling for us all, to expand out our understanding of family, to include others beyond our clan, beyond our kin, beyond those who look like us. As I think about it, for me personally, the best example is our community of faith. It's our family. It's my family, I can tell you, after all these years. Thanks for putting up. We're not a business, not a civic association, or even a bunch of good friends, although we are that. We are siblings, sisters and brothers in the faith and in the love of God. There is a connection to one another as family. Jesus' dramatic line, however, speaks also to us. Discipleship and family of faith doesn't stop here, as I think the children were illustrating and telling us. It doesn't stop within just this expansion of family. Jesus' encouragement is that we continue to expand our understanding of family, continue to expand our welcome to many, particularly those who are in need in the world. Jesus' call to expand the sense of family and clan in his time, but in ours as well, is extraordinarily challenging. It was even threatening in his day, because it was not only a challenge to one's identity that we think outside of those that we are used to, but it was also a challenge to their source of power, perhaps even their wealth, that was structured on a certain understanding of who was in and who was out. And it's pretty clear, with the Gospel of Luke in particular, and with these lessons, you might note kind of curious examples, and they only occur in Luke. They don't show up in any of the other Gospels, but it seems probable that Jesus is speaking to folks who have money. Who else is going to build a tower? He's not going to be talking to peasants about, you know, when you build a building. Or peasants aren't going to relate to kings. So Jesus is probably talking to some folks of means who would be perhaps challenged, even threatened. But perhaps that's why he stated it so dramatically, that it was as if you were giving up life, at least life as they knew it. Life has been structured in the socio-political reality. This call to expand our love, our sense of family and community, isn't it equally challenging today? Perhaps we are also called to give up life as we know it. Let me submit that what Jesus is encouraging here is what now our whole world seems to be reacting fearfully to. Most famously, or infamously, at our southern border. Or if we think across the pond in England with the Brexit struggle, in part, if not in the main, it is about who is family. Can we broaden out our sense of who is included? Or must we narrow it down and exclude others? There's the rise in many European nations of populist leaders who absolutely do not want to expand the notion of family and community. And then the seemingly ongoing wars of tribe and clan in the Middle East. It is literally a matter of life or death, of social death, of bondage. These are great lessons to put together this day. So if we reflect on St. Paul, here is a real life situation. It's echoing Jesus' call by encouraging, in no uncertain terms, I believe, that Philemon, this fairly rich guy who's living in Colossae, whose home is used as a house church, that he must expand his notion of family and Christian community. Onesimus, the slave, has fled to Paul to help him in Paul's own time of imprisonment, but also perhaps to escape his master. In his letter to Philemon, Paul proclaims that Philemon must not only forgive his slave, but he, in the new realm, the new age of God, is called to free him and live with him as family, as community. Some of you have listened to me at various Bible studies know that some of the letters attributed to St. Paul are not really written by Paul. And these actually, as you read them through, suggest that slavery perhaps might be acceptable as long as we treat slaves well. But this letter, Paul is asserting clearly that Jesus, with Jesus, that the institution of slavery has no place in the realm of God. God has an expanded, inclusive sense of community and family. God has an expanded spirit of life. Jesus was rejecting a certain sense or understanding of life, one which some lived at the expense of others, or the exclusion of others, or the dehumanization of others. Jesus was bringing God's full gift, God's full promise of life. But it meant carrying the cross. which he knew to be true in his life. For as he went around in his ministry, he wasn't always embraced. In fact, he was rejected many times. And I think he could see that this was leading up to a culmination in Jerusalem. His own welcome into God's realm, this great offer, was oftentimes rejected. And so he could see that the cross was on the horizon for him. He anticipated it. It was before him in Jerusalem, where religious leaders and Roman Empire leaders could not bear God's inclusive plan. The mystery of the cross is this, that we are all included in God's forgiveness and in God's inclusive promise of life. The good news of the gospel this day and every day is that however personally you may feel lifeless today, or excluded, or alone, abandoned, defeated, fearful, abandoned even by God, the cross of Christ, Christ himself says, God says, I am with you. I choose you. I hold you. You are family. I choose life for you. And when we ourselves, particularly at the confessional, realize, acknowledge, confess that we have not always chosen life for ourselves and for others, when we have restricted our sense of welcome, of family and love, the cross and Christ's resurrection announces forgiveness and reconciliation, redemption and freedom from bondage. So this day, again, as the children illustrated, we are held in forgiveness and the promise of life by Christ. And in that holding, in that caring, in that loving, we are empowered to carry the cross, to follow Jesus, to bring God's good news to those who are in need, empowered daily to share God's welcome, God's acceptance to those particularly that we encounter in our everyday lives, again, especially those who are outcast and excluded, empowered to challenge systems also of exclusion which set people against each other. We are who we are because of who loves us. We give thanks for God's great mercy to us and that God sends us forth to love others, for surely we are also who we are because of who we love. Amen.